we forget is when we go hard and fast, the likelihood of reactions and problems are greater. If we take it slower, like a 10%, starting with that, and then you can gradually look at, do you do more?
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Beauty Babble. Today is actually episode one of a series that we're doing on chemical peels and common skin conditions. And this first episode is chemical peel and acne. So we are going to talk about, you know, is it good to peel skin with acne? Can you? How do you do it? What type of peel? We're going to get into it all. And yeah, it's going to be fun. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Doreen. Yeah, this has been quite a few questions happening from our viewers. And this is why we thought about doing a master class series, in a sense, so that we can start talking about individual conditions that are quite common in the treatment room these days. So I think the first thing we have to determine when we're analyzing the skin, what type of acne do they have? What stage of acne are they in? Mm-hmm. So maybe what we could do is kind of maybe dive into each one separately and kind of talk about what they look like, what are some recommendations, and what to avoid. And absolutely, I think the biggest thing we got to remember is each brand will have their own protocols. So you should reach out to your brand representative and ensure that it's following. So this is just a general reminder, recommendations, that type of thing. And because it is that time of year and people are starting to get back into it. So maybe you haven't touched chemicals for a little while. And it's good that you're a little nervous. I'm happy you are and asking the questions, because it's good to kind of remember it all, right? Go back and kind of review and dot your I's and cross your T's, right? So
absolutely,
I think the biggest one that most are going into, is salicylic, the BHA. That's a common one to start off with, right? That people are doing. But let's talk about acne grade one. What does that look like?
Yeah. Okay. So this one is non-inflammatory. It's the most mild of all of them.
Yeah. It's congestion, right?
Yeah.
So much bacterial in the infection side of things. It's a rough skin. They might have a couple little pimples, because of course, if the pore is plugged, the chances of it going into an inflammatory state, that reaction where pus is involved, you might have a few of that, but definitely it's more so bumpy, congested with blackheads and whiteheads. Mm. And you can't get them out.
Yeah.
It's that kind of a feel. And some of them, they'll see the open comedone, like the blackhead side of it, but it's definitely a rougher type of skin. So I think is to look at, okay, how old is this person? What are the products they're using? Are they causing the actual comedones?
That's a good point.
Because some products out there, are they overdoing it? Like you need to really dive in and ask questions about your client and what they're doing. What have they tried before?
Mm-hmm.
And because people are bouncing around a lot nowadays and they're ordering things online and you just don't know what they've already done. So I think when you're diving into especially acne skins is to really find out, what have they tried already? What worked and what didn't work? And why is it still not better?
And when you talk about age, right? Because you said, like, how old are they? How is that a factor?
Well, hormones is a big one. So if you're dealing with a younger skin, I mean, we've had questions that people ask, can I do a chemical peel on a teenager? It's like, no, their skin is too young. That's how I was trained. I think you should ask your brand representative as well, because things are changing and evolving. Mm-hmm. I like the slow go on chemical peel, like really on any kind of treatment, really. It's just, okay, let's see. What's the cleanser you're using? What's the day cream you're using?
The chemical peel should never be the first thing you think of for any skin, anything, not just acne. Like, it is something that is a consideration that is part of a larger treatment plan for your client. So if it's an adolescent who is experiencing that first, you know, that grade one acne, how are the, you like home care? What's their home care like? Mm-hmm. Do they know how to take care of their skin? Why don't even think, I wouldn't personally, I wouldn't even think about chemical peels until we've, you know, gone through
everything
and waited for them to get a little older, because your skin is going to do a lot of crazy things when you're a teenager.
And I mean, granted, there are some products that have very, very like very low percentage of salicylic. Okay, fair enough, but we're not talking about that. We're talking you doing chemical peels at a higher percentage. That's what we're referring to right now, not the general little cleanser that has a little, you know, 2% of salicylic or something. We're talking the bigger numbers here, like 10, 15, like carry on forward, something stronger, because we're talking professional treatments here, right? I think that's a good step. And I would have them try, see if we can start cleaning the skin through treatments. And yeah, they need a little exfoliation, but because they're young, would you do an abrasive mechanical exfoliation, or would you consider more of an enzymatic style, which is kind of like a chemical, but not as aggressive?
Yeah.
And just see if you can get that balanced out. So grade one is, I don't think I've ever maybe done a light sweep on a T-zone kind of thing, because it was just not working. But we tried everything first, and then very, very slow. But and then what you're doing is you're prepping the skin.
Yeah.
For it. So if it's not working, but this is a series of treatment. What I mean by a series of treatment would be weekly. Then you know what's going on with their skin and you see them. So the one I should mention, the one big thing about acneic skins, whatever grade it is, what is their commitment to treatment and home care? And if they're not committed, I wouldn't say no to them. I'd say prepare them that this is a very long process. Is this a temporary fix you're looking for, or do you want a long-term fix? And yeah. I think those are different things to look at. And then work with them. Like, yeah, I had clients that couldn't afford to come every week. Fair. But then I said, okay, then you need to be diligent at home. This is what I need you to do at home. You know what? That's all acne levels, like all grades of acne. But
yeah, that applies across the board. But I think like for the grade one, if you are an adult and you have that, I think that is a good, a very treatable acne condition with chemical peels and the right home care protocols, right commitment from your client. But when it comes to the type of peel that you would do on grade one, what do you think?
Well, basing it on whatever product they have, you have, right? If you're doing a professional treatment, I'd probably start low myself, just to see if it's enough to get it. Because I think what we forget is when we go hard and fast, the likelihood of reactions and problems are greater. If we take it slower, like a 10%, maybe 15, depending on, you know, the product.
But you can do both glycolic and salicylic.
Yeah. Yes.
What else do we have? Lactic would be good. Yeah, as well.
I personally love lactic.
Yeah, I think for like acneic skin, lactic and salicylic is a nice blend.
Nice blend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can do.
You can even alternate, right? Like one week could be the salicylic, the following week could be your lactic. Like, because you're alternating, they're going to do different things. Each chemical, hopefully through your training for the listeners, you know the differences between and why you would choose one over the other. I think it's important too. But yeah, I think starting with that, and then you can gradually look at, do you do more? Is it necessary? But really, I'm really hands-on when it comes to acne clients. I'm basically every week either seeing them or hearing from them and discussions. Like it's a deep dive into commitment from on both ends, client and professional, is how I look at it.
Yeah.
Stage two.
Okay. So this one, I think we've stepped it up. We've graduated to a little bit more. So I think this, we differentiate stage two because we have more pustules, like more pimples, a little bit of inflammation. And
then they start to break out.
Yeah. This
first kind of indicator that they're starting to actually have pimples.
This is what you would think acne looks like.
Yes, that's that first part that people think. Yeah. Right. This is the other thing. If you haven't treated grade one, you're going to graduate to grade two, and this is not what you want, and so on. If you don't get acne grade two taken care of, you will graduate more than likely to acne three, and it just carries on from there, right?
And that's how you progress to the different levels of acneic skin, is not having treated your skin in the proper.
It's definitely hormonal or genetic, like we know that, or you know, the outside influences, like, you know, you work in a kitchen, it's greasy, it's, you know, like external factors, but that's all part of the analysis, is to figure out what's been causing this. I know we're not doctors, but you still have to dive deep and try to figure out what they've been doing. So I think with this one, again, if they come into you at that point, I'd still consider, what are you using currently? What have you tried in the past? What worked? What didn't? How long did it last? Like, how long did it work for? Because that's the other thing that people have commonly will say, oh, I tried this one brand and it did really good for the first few weeks. And then I started breaking out again. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, what were they using? And try to find out, because sometimes it starts to work, but maybe it's too much for the skin. Again, less is more, and it's too aggressive sometimes. So again, I think with that, it's still, you're starting out slow and progressing and determining what home care. But at this point with the breakouts, you just want to hopefully catch it where it's not turning really inflammatory, and that inflammatory response is mm-hmm. to kill what's in there. In the bacteria that's starting to develop around that. But a lot of times it's the stage where the comedones and stuff are starting to get plugged, and then they start to get infected. And it could be from the picking. It could be from them trying to get at it themselves. There's things like that, right? But the same thing applies, I would say. You know, start off with a good home care regime. And I mean, you could possibly do the light sweep of the treatment depending on what they've been using. The other thing now that's happening quite often, as soon as they have this, they're going to see the dermatologist, and the dermatologist is putting them on Accutane or other acneic drugs. So you really need to make sure, how long has it been since they've been on it? Are they currently on it? Because you still have to wait the 6 months after their last dose before you can even consider any peels.
And topical, like dermatologists also prescribe like heavy, like very strong retinol creams and stuff like that. But I think being very thorough with your intake, again, mm-hmm. I think we sound like a broken record, but especially with this case, because it's not just what you're ingesting in terms of medication, like what kind of creams are you using, what's in them. If you don't know, like maybe asking them to send you a picture or something like that. So you really kind of dive down. What kind of cream did you put on your face in the last 3 weeks?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And what, you know, and then you need to take the time as a professional. It's just part of it. If you're going to take this on, you need to know what they've been using. You need to understand the ingredients, and Google's your friend. Just look it up and see what it is. And if you have to dive deeper, does this cause comedones? Like, just ask the question. You can't be known to know everything. You know, I've actually, in the past, I've even called a pharmacist and said, I've got a question for you. This, I don't say it's because of someone else, because I won't talk about other people. So I direct as if I'm on the product, I'm on the medication myself. Mm-hmm. And pharmacists probably like, what are you doing? But they would just tell me, okay, what are some side effects? Is there anything you'd recommend I shouldn't do with products? You know, that type of, and then you'll understand the drug itself mm-hmm. and the adverse effects if you start doing something else with it. So when I didn't know something, couldn't find the answer, I've done that.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. Cause I mean, we're not doctors, we're not chemists, we're not pharmacists, but the information's out there. So getting it. I think another thing that we've talked about, but maybe let's unpack it a little bit, is when we talk about like home care for a chemical peel, like I think it depends, it's the side note, it could be it brand specific, like depending on the brand that you work with, but it's really getting them to use a, you know, cleanse their skin, maybe something with like a mild glycolic or salicylic in it to just fully exfoliate and just prepare their skin, and then that proper hydration and all that, doing it for, you know, a couple of weeks before they even receive their first chemical peel. And I think that that is really part of the conversation to have with your client, which I know can be hard for the client too, because you come in and you're like, okay, I want to deal with this, I want it gone. And the reality is it's not going to happen in this treatment. It's not, you know, it's a process, and just
that's why
products, and then come mm-hmm. back in 2 weeks.
That's why I always say a consultation first. Yes, do it for free.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to sell your knowledge and your expertise. Mm-hmm. You go in, you can talk about it. If you want to do a phone consultation with them, you can. I prefer face-to-face. They come into my treatment room. They get to know me. I get to know them. You'll find out way more information about them, and you get to see their skin. You could do a skin analysis right then and there.
And you can ask them to bring their product with them too.
Yeah. And I do say, like, for example, I'm not going to give them every answer because you want them to you to be to you. And I get that, but you need to give a little bit of your knowledge to them. So one of the biggest ones that I forgot to mention is that I always check for dehydration, because when your lipid barrier's off, that could be causing the breakout, is because it's the natural defense mechanism of our body is to have that balanced lipid barrier, right?
So, and I think that's pretty common. That's pretty common with people with pale skin, because they're trying to strip their skin and trying to get out the,
Yeah, for sure. Or it could be a seasonal thing that happens to them. I've had that happen where it's the spring and all of a sudden they break out, and then they tell me, yeah, it happens spring and fall. And I went, dehydration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lacking moisture, right? So it could be other things too, but typically that's the one thing to look for. So you might right then and there say, you know what, we're going to do a hydration treatment on you today. Let's get this started and balanced out. And then we can carry on and start to target more so what's going on with your skin. But yeah, I think that's the other thing is that people forget about, is that we just automatically want to start to do these peels, which are great. And I mean, they do amazing, amazing outcomes, but we still need to step back a little bit and really challenge it. There's no one answer. And I think that's what's hard these days, is people are looking for the answer as a professional. And it's not, it's a puzzle. Everybody has their own puzzle. And you only have a few pieces to that puzzle. And that's your knowledge of what you know about chemical peels or hydration treatments. So how do you piece this together and determine what that is? I find that fun. Mm-hmm. I love that part. I love to figure it out, right?
And I think for that grade 2 acne too, like, I think when you're doing the treatment, you can still use the same different types of chemical peels that you would in grade 1. But with the grade 2 acne, like, if you have open pustules or a lot of inflammation in certain spots, you can actually cover those with Vaseline or whatever and avoid those areas. So you can still do it, but being a little bit more cautious too after you've done all the prepping and all the...
It's typically at this point, I found that they're more congested areas. They're closer together where that's happening. And that's usually because they're focused on it and they keep going at the same spot. Mm-hmm. When it's scattered all over, those are the best, but very rare, I find, to find it like that. They're more concentrated little areas because the client's typically doing something more so to that area as well. So I love that point that you said you can still do, but you might have to avoid some of those areas.
Yeah. What about extraction during a chemical peel? Would you extract?
If it was a light chemical peel, I'd be cautious to over extract, especially if it's in an area that's congested. I'd only pick a couple that I know are the good ones that will pop out right away, those comedones. But like, let's say, like you had mentioned, your jaw area was the area, right, in the lower cheek. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'd leave that area alone unless I saw a blackhead that was about to become a pustule. So listen, I'm going to just take the one out, but I'll focus on the T-zone. We'll get that cleaned up in your chin, but I don't want to aggravate the area.
Yeah. I think like
see how your skin reacts, right?
Yeah. And it depends on your peel level. Like if you're working with a higher peel, like,
oh, then
avoid extraction, because you could cause scarring too.
Exactly. Yeah. No, leave those pustules alone.
As hard as that is, because
it's very hard.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, like grade 3 now, you've graduated. Your client graduated. Such a not a good graduation.
Not a place you want to go. No.
Yeah, not a place you want to go to. But grade 3 now, you're dealing with a lot more inflammation, the soreness, the sensitivity.
Yes.
Right. And again, these are the ones that if they did extract it, it would just ooze forever. And unfortunately, they usually want you to do something with that, and this is where you've really got to hold back. I have seen some where you can see the blackhead at the, have you seen those, Doreen, where there's like a little blackhead to it? I'm like, it is a pustule, but it's not like the acne what we're talking about. This is straight like a hard bump almost. It's red, inflamed around it, but there's not really like the pus to it. or a little blackhead at the tip of it, right? So really look at, and if you're not sure, listeners, if you're not sure what I'm referring to, Google the pictures. I know when we're doing any training and teaching, I do like to bring up pictures because it's better. I mean, maybe you never had that type of an acne. I remember the first time having a full-blown level 3, but it wasn't all over. It was just right on the cheeks and that was it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
a little bit more controlled.
It was more controlled and I knew she'd been doing things to it because then it's not hormonal. Hormonal tends to be, you know, the jaw, the chin, the neck, and then it spreads into the cheeks typically like that. But yeah, you can look that up to see. And you've got to tell your clients, do not do extractions on these.
So it's really a big part of it is educating, teaching them proper home protocols, getting them really onto a set regimen before, like a client that comes in with grade 3 acne, you wouldn't want to just do a chemical peel on them. Not that you ever want to just do right away, right? But with this, it's really a longer term. Like, could you do a chemical peel? Possibly, but later on down the road, not your first kind of.
I think, yeah, there's options first. I think we think automatically we gotta, that we have to do a chemical peel right away. But I think that's educating your client and let them know why you're doing what you're doing. And I think that was the biggest takeaway for my clients was that I would help educate them to why we're doing what we're doing and also in what you're able to commit to.
Yeah, like, yeah, we can, but we're going to do this, this, and this first. I had a client that, but he was a teen. So obviously we didn't chemical peel him, but what I would do other than like home care, he would come in like once a week and we'd do like a blue light therapy. And it would just sit under the blue light to just kill that bacteria and just get that a little bit more calmed in the skin. So I think combining something, so think outside, like what else do you have that treat the skin? And maybe down the road, a chemical peel would be an option, but.
Right. Especially to watch, because depending on acne 3 and well, acne 4 for sure, but the scarring that will come out of it as well. Yeah. So the biggest thing that people forget is sunscreen. Because soon as you have, when acne starts to heal, they're left kind of live a little bit with like that pigmentation stain, I call it. It's a type of hyperpigmentation, but it's from the acne. So when the blood flow into those areas like that, it's concentrated with melanin, right? So it hits the sun, guess what? Down the road, it's going to start showing up, right? And then the acne scarring at a tissue level is another thing that can start to happen. And then chemical peels are great for scarring, right? So once they've healed, when can you start maybe targeting like target areas of scarring, especially the younger, like the sooner it's healed, the quicker you can repair and help the scarring through different modalities. So it's not just a chemical peel. There's microneedling, there's chemical peel, there's light therapy. There's so many things. And then having your client now, I mean, back when I was doing this, you didn't sell light therapy to your client. Right. So, I mean, that's an option. How badly do they want to fix this? Is that one thing they can do? So we're talking of grade 2, grade 3, it's like, okay, now start looking at, okay, what's the genetics behind it? Is there something in the family, especially men that have it, maybe the male hormone is too strong, right? And that, so now this is genetic. So their skin is likely to have acne skin breakouts, not as badly because they'll be in more control, but that's teaching your client. Right, that of what they need to do for the rest of their life, basically. It tends to be more males on that part, I find, but some women now with the different hormone imbalances that are happening, it can be part of that too. But this is now, you're hovering into the doctor world if it's not controlled. So if you've done the first steps, right, like can you slow down the breakouts? Are they less and less? Are they starting to heal? And this is over a period of time. Then you're on the right track. If they're continually having these bad breakouts every week, every few days, I think at that point you need to have the doctor involved because there's something else going on. Because you can't control it, you can't slow it down. It's not working for you. So then you can say to them, let me know what the doctor says. Why don't we do some nice healing treatments? You can still do that. You can still do LEDs. You're just not doing chemical peels. You don't say bye bye. Go see your doctor now. You just need to know what they're on, what they're doing, And how can you encourage the healing side of all of this too?
That's a really good point.
Hydration. I still worked with clients that went to doctors. I just said, okay, we're not gonna do some of these other things because I know what you're on. You know, feel free to let your dermatologist know that you're coming to do facials, but there's no extractions in the area, no chemical peels in the area. We're just healing and nourishing the skin to calm. And most of the time, the dermatologists are like, yes. The times when they say no is usually because they have a clinic and they can do your treatment. So that's typically why they would say it. But if it's a dermatologist going in, get your medication, get out kind of a place.
Yeah.
And then stage four, well, that's just a whole other ball game as well.
I think that one, say it's the same preamble though, right? Like you can educate on home care, you can help calm the skin, but that becomes something that is beyond our ability to treat.
Yeah, and this is when you're going to start seeing structural changes to the skin, like that their acne is almost like a big bump. Mm-hmm. And there's not like, but there's nothing to squeeze almost, you know, or they have this little spot that you want to think to extract. And that's the other thing, where a lot of times we're trained on doing extractions, but you need to know when not to do extractions, especially with acne skins and the different grades of acne. But once that's under control and the breakouts stop, you can start targeting the scarring side. So this is where they're left with the little pits of the skin, and some greater than others. They're not like almost like the little, I won't call them craters, but mini ones like that. And they're not perfect. They're like in lines. It could be like they're missing things, but that's when, you know, your chemical peels really do help. It's not a fast process. It's a slow, but over the years, and take pictures. That's the other thing where I'm always telling people, no matter which one you're dealing with, take before and after pictures, because their hardest critic is on themselves.
And you're not going to notice it on yourself. Because you're looking at yourself every day. So it's good to look back on pictures.
Yeah. And stage four tends to be a larger area of the face. Like we're talking more than half to three quarters is broken out, right? So we're talking a larger area. It's not typically in one. And that's when you start to see it into the cheek area, I find anyways, in my experience. But it's not held to just that. But, you know, you've got the neck in under the chin area, that kind of thing. But I think the biggest thing is just remind yourself as a professional, what other options can they do at home? So a light therapy, maybe with the different light options is a good idea, because then they can use it for different things. So this is an investment long term, not just the blue light therapy.
Yeah.
Hopefully the red there, the orange, the blue, the like whatever you can get, and just tell them you just need to do it every day for, you know, 5 minutes on the area. I usually say 10, because then more than likely they'll do it for 5. But then they'll start to help heal, right? And then you can alternate and say, you know what, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or just tell them one day blue, one day red, one day blue, one day red. Like just play. It's a puzzle. It's just a puzzle. And there's no right answer. I think that's what we find hard these days as professionals. We just want step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And it's
And not quite like that. There's different paths that, you know, two estheticians can come up with treatment plans. They probably can both reach the client's goal, but they would be completely different.
Yeah. And then reminding, if you do dive into these chemical peels and you're really getting into it, you really need to educate your client on what they should not be using at home. Mm-hmm. They should only be using what you are doing or recommending, because then you can't guarantee the outcome of what they're doing at home. So I don't tell them to throw out their product. You can hang on to it, but for right now, I need to know that you can do this. This is not a sales game. This is a treatment plan.
It's not just about reaching your goals, but it's also about reducing risks of post-treatment scarring or hyperpigmentation or anything.
Yeah,
you can't control that if you don't know what is being used on the skin. Yeah.
And being blunt to your client. I said, you know, if we're not careful what we're doing here, me as a professional, and you at home, we can have adverse effects.
Yeah.
You can have more breakout. You can have pigmentation, hyperpigmentation reactions. You can have the inflammation. You know, less is better.
Yeah.
Just think long term. And sometimes you have to explain to them in a different format that they'll understand you. For example, I don't know, I've used the dentist so many times. You need to see the hygienist, but you haven't had a cleaning in years. Is it better to go in? Could they do it all? Oh yeah. They can do it all right in one session, about an hour or more, but your gums are going to hurt. They're going to be sensitive for days. They're going to be, you know, the likelihood of you being able to floss after is likely no, because they're all inflamed. But if you went in 1 week for a little bit and then 2 weeks later and 2 weeks later, you would eventually get it all off without having the adverse effects of things. Right. So it could be that analogy to people that sometimes they understand that better.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I think really understanding, okay, what can I do? What are they using at home? What have they tried before? What worked? What didn't? Of course, their age, trying to understand, and genetic. And what to avoid at home now, you know, hydration, soothing kind of things, as well as we don't want to dry out the skin. A lot of product lines I find today are leaning more to that now. Like they're really looking that we do not want to dry out the skin. It's not good for it. Could we spot treat and dry out something? Okay, yeah. But not the entire regime of the face, right? So I think that's another thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I think we covered it all. In a nutshell, yes, you can use a chemical peel on acne skin, depending on the acne. Yeah,
exactly. So, this one's a puzzle, my friends.
And yeah, and at the end of the day, the answer is no if you haven't been trained on doing chemical peels at all.
Yes, this isn't something you just want to Google. It's like if you are going to do a training, think of the clients or models that you can have to use in your training would be ideal. So if you ask them, will you provide models in the acne side of things, or should I find them myself? And a lot of them are going to say, you have to find your own models. So start looking to see who's the model you could use in this training. Because then you have, that's how you learn, is the actual thing, actually working on people. Yeah. It's so essential. And then maybe that's a bonus for your models, that you're learning and say, hey, I think you'd be a great candidate for this, and I can learn with you, and I'm under the guidance of the trainer, and, you know, try to explain all, you know, that they're safe and would they be willing to do it? Because then your hands-on is going to be the best experience ever.
Absolutely.
All right.
It all, yeah?
I think so. But I mean, if people have questions, please feel free to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I hope this helps.
We'll be back with the second episode of this series next week. Thanks for listening to Beauty Babble.